Okay, Or Gedaliah, Os Tesvav, on page 77. Ksiv, this is a very wild piece. You can almost sense that the Or Gedaliah in this piece is hinting to so many more things than he's actually saying. Sometimes it's very open, it's very clear what he's trying to say. But here, I don't know, there's a lot of or in this piece. Ksiv, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Shtet in pasuk. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Ner mitzvah v'torah or. Ki kol ha-mitzvos shebetorah heim begeder ner. Every mitzvah of the Torah is like a ner. Right? And as opposed to or, which is the light itself, ner, when we use the word ner, what do we mean by ner? Ner means a candle. Right? But the way to understand ner is really the kli which contains or. So in the context of Hanukkah, right, the menorah, so to speak, is the ner. And the menorah is the ner. It's the kli that's going to contain the or. So kiner mitzvah v'torah or, which means every mitzvah serves as a small vessel, so to speak, to contain some of the light of Torah. Again, ki kol ha-mitzvah shebetorah heim begeder ner. Every mitzvah of the Torah is like a ner. Kiner hu ha-kli ha-muchon l'kabel ha-or. Ner is the vehicle by which the or is contained to Torah. And through the mitzvos, through the experience of mitzvos, we receive the light of Torah. Now, Talmud Torah can I get kulam? When we learn the Torah, in a certain sense, we're just getting the or itself. Right? But each mitzvah contains within it some of the or of the Torah. So when a person puts on tzitzis, or a person puts on tefillin, or a person sits in a sukkah, each of those mitzvos serve as a vessel or a vehicle by which one can encounter the Or HaTorah. Again, when one studies Torah, now we understand a little more why Torah study is so chashuv, because as opposed to receiving it, you know, wrapped in a sukkah, or wrapped in a tefillin, or wrapped in Hilchos Kashrus, when a person learns Torah, you're making direct contact with the Or itself. Which is why the study of Torah brings one much closer to Hashem than any particular mitzvah. Okay, but each mitzvah prepares the body to receive the or, the corresponding or of Torah. Sha mitzvos ma'alim haguf, because mitzvos lift up the body. They elevate the body. So with each mitzvah, my body becomes more of a kli, right? Through the mitzvos, which themselves are kalim, my body becomes more of a kli to receive the light of Torah. It's a deep idea. And furthermore, we find in the Svarim a very deep idea that Ner, Gematria 250, corresponds to the 248 limbs of the body. And what are the last two? It's 248. Where do we get the last two? The two wings. What are the Tre Gadfe? The two wings. In other words, the two essential attitudes a person has to have in order for his mitzvos to go anywhere. If you do dead mitzvos, they're not going to go anywhere. But if your mitzvos are motivated by Ava and Yira, by love of God and awe of God, so those are, in the language of the Zohar, the wings, which, so to speak, carry a person towards Hashem, carry one's mitzvos towards Hashem. Famous story of the Baal Shem Tov walked into the shul, and he said, wow, this shul is filled with Torah and tefillah. Right? This shul is totally filled with Torah and tefillah. And Baal Shem Tov said, but I can't daven here. What do you mean? If you complimented it that it's filled with Torah and tefillah, you would think that's a good place to daven. He said, no, it's filled with Torah and tefillah because the way that they learn, the way they daven here, there are no wings. So the Torah and tefillah doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go up. Right? So it's filled with Torah and tefillah because their Torah and tefillah is lacking the Ava and Yira to propel their Torah and tefillah towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Baal Shem Tov said, I can't, the shul's too crowded, I can't go in there. It's too filled with Torah and tefillah. Not able to go into such a place. There's an amazing comment from the Sefer.
Here's my bed. The Sefer's called Mi'ir Einei Chacham. This book. Mi'ir Einei Chacham.
The story is told in the Sichos Bevoras Hashem and in many other Sfarim. I don't have Sichos Bevoras Hashem here by any chance. Oh, you have the story? No, so pass it off. Let's hear.
Good. Yeah, this works awesome.
OK. Okay, what's the story of the Sefer Mir Nechachamim? Very good. Okay. Be'ir Khrushchev, Hayasham HaRav HaTzadik HaMakubal Rav Meir Av Beisdin, Rav Meir of Khrushchev, who was the author of the Sefer, in the city of Khrushchev, he was the Av Beisdin, and he wrote an amazing Sefer called Me'ir Einei Chachamim. What is this Sefer? Va'Sefer HaZeh Rubo Bonoi Al Kavanos Ner Chanukah. The overwhelming majority of the Sefer is about the Kavanos of Ner Chanukah. In other words, for people like us, most of it doesn't mean anything. It's very hard to read. I like flipped through the whole thing and I maybe understood a half a line. Okay. But Justin Wexler told me this year, he said, don't be so scared of it. Try to learn a little. So I'm trying to learn it a little. Okay, fine. So how did this Sefer come to be? Ki Rav Rabbeinu Meir, an Iskarlel, this Rav Meir of Khrushchev, Zuchusi again Aleinu, Ba Pam Achas L'Rabbo HaKadosh Rav Zev Wolf HaMagid Mizhitomer. Zhitomer is in Ukraine. And it was a tzaddik, the Magid of Zhitomer, Rav Zev Wolf of Zhitomer, that he came to visit his Rebbe. He was the Rebbe of Rav Meir of Khrushchev. He came to visit him one year on Erev Chanukah. V'ra'as Rabbo HaKadosh Omeru Panav Kalapidim. And he saw his Rebbe's standing there, his face was mamish shining. Umanakas halempel shel Chanukah. And he was cleaning, he was preparing. He didn't see him light the menorah. He saw him cleaning and preparing, polishing his menorah, preparing the wicks, setting up his menorah. And he saw him doing this for an extended period of time. Kein haya arech kamashos. For a long time, he's busy with the hachana of the menorah. Many of the Sfarim tell us that the hachana of the menorah is in fact even greater than the lighting of the menorah. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the hatavas haneros had to be done by a Kohen, while the Hadlakas HaMenorah could technically be done by a Zar, by a non-Kohen. Just pause in the story for half a second. No, let me finish the story, then I'll come back. Just remind me Shem Yishmuel in a second. So, he watched his Rebbe for hours preparing the Menorah. V'hirgish b'rabo ha-kadosh es ha-kavanos asher hu mechuven us. Rav Meir, watching his Rebbe prepare the Menorah, watching the Maggid of Zhitomer prepare the Menorah, he understood all the kavanah, meaning, what was he so busy preparing the menorah? What was he doing all that time? Obviously, he was being machave in many, many kavanos. And Rav Meir said, just watching my Rebbe's kavanos, watching him do what he was doing, I understood a ton of things. Ukishabar Rav Meir lebeiso, and when Rav Meir got home, he, so to speak, wrote down everything that he saw by his Rebbe. V'chiber as a sefer in Yisrael, and he wrote this book, which I'm holding in my hand, Meir Enei Chachamim. Al Chanukah, Drushim Nechmadim B'derech Pardis. Very deep teachings in the way of Pshat Remez Drushin Sod. So this whole Sefer was inspired by one time watching the Tzaddik from Zhitomer prepare his menorah for Chanukah. Okay? Pretty wild. Okay, so now let me just come back to the Shem Yishmuel for one second. Thank you. And then I'll tell you what he says here. One of the one tiny little things I do understand, which will be very nice for us in light of what we're learning in Or Gedalia. But first, just the Shem Yishmuel. Very interesting. The Shem Yishmuel asks in Parshas Mikitz, why is it that of all the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, the only avoda of the Beis HaMikdash that we have outside of Beis HaMikdash, even in our Korban today, is the lighting of the menorah? It's interesting, no? Meaning there's the famous Ramban in Parshas Baalos, where the Ramban says that when Aaron HaKohen, based on a Medrash, that when Aaron HaKohen felt bad that Shevet Levi didn't get to bring one of the Karbanos Nesiim. So Hashem says to Aaron, don't worry, I'm going to give you something that's going to last forever. What is that? The menorah. Says the Ramban, menorah doesn't last forever. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, unfortunately. So he says, it's Meramis to the menorah of Chashmonai, the Chanukah menorah, which lasts forever. So the Shem Yishmuel asks in this week's parasha, he says, I don't understand. Why is it that of all the things of the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah is the only one that we're able to do in our houses today, right? And if the Ramban is correct that our menorah is somehow a hemshech, mamish, continuation of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, which again the Ramban says and Rashi says and the Ran says, that our menorah in many ways is connected to menorah's Beis HaMikdash, that's part of the reason ein lanu reshus lishtamesh behem, el eroisim bilvad, you're not allowed to net binene from it because it's mamish, the light of the Beis HaMikdash. So why, of all the things, how did that, so to speak, make it into my house? Of all the things of the Beis HaMikdash, why is that the one avoda that exists, the Gvulin, he says, outside the Beis HaMikdash? So Shem Yishmuel says the following. Shem Yishmuel says, why do Kohanim need Big Day Kahuna? Why do Kohanim wear clothing? Special clothing for the Kohanim. What's that about? So Shemi Shmuel quotes from his father, the Avnei Nezer, who says, because Kohanim represent the pnimius of Klal Yisrael. Kohanim, so to speak, are the most inner Jews. Obviously, the Kohen Gadol, who goes to the most innermost place in the world, the Kodesh Kedashim, is the most innermost Jew. But Kohanim are pnimium. And therefore, he says an amazing thing. Just like your body serves as the clothing for your soul, so because Kohanim are so spiritual, they also need special clothing. They need a lavush to envelop themselves. The big day kahuna to a Kohen is like your body to your soul. That's what he says. So Kohanim are very pnimiistic. So says the Shem Yishmuel, when it comes to lighting the menorah, the truth is, like I just told you, the hatavas haneros, the preparing of the menorah has to be done by a Kohen. The lighting technically could be done by a non-Kohen. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel, if that's true, right, that the lighting is not really connected to Kohanim per se, so what that means is that what? That means even when you don't have that innermost place called the Beis HaMikdash, you could still have the lighting of the menorah. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah itself was not completely connected to Kohanim, because technically a non-Kohen could light it, not prepare it, but could light it. So too, says the Shem Yishmuel, we're able, in our homes, even if you're not a Kohen, to continue to light the menorah forever. Ah, we also set up the menorah. Okay, so we're a shtickle Kohen Gadol, and we're a shtickle, you know, it has to do with the fact that the menorah is the highest avodah, and in a certain sense, the lowest avodah, right? Meaning, it's the loftiest in a certain sense. It's really the avodah of Aaron a Kohen. It's Kohen Gadol's avodah. At the same time, we're saying, well, really anyone could do it, because technically you don't even need a Kohen to light it. So there's an element of the menorah that's mamish, the highest thing in the world, and there's an element of the menorah that's the lowest thing in the world, and that has to do with menorah and the light of the menorah stretching from Bereishis all the way to Mashiach and back. There's a whole mahalach on that, right? Is the menorah the most chashuv thing in the Beis HaMikdash? Or in a certain sense, is it the least chashuv thing? And the answer is it's both. If I ask you the same question about yourself, are you the most chashuv Jew ever lived, or the least chashuv Jew ever lived? You'll say, well, you read the Sadoros, I guess we're the lowest generation. We're also the generation that's going to greet Mashiach. So we're the lowest of Galus, but we're the first of Gula. Okay, so that's a chashuv thing. Yeah, so hold on one second. So says the Me'irei Nechachamim, a very interesting thing. He says, when a person lights the menorah, listen to what he says. V'gam ikar hadlakas ner Chanukah lahamshich aleinu ha'ora hazos beis asiyas sarchinu bedvarim hamutarim lakadish asasmenu. The menorah has this ability to what? To make us spiritually connected, that even when we're in Osek, in Dvar Mutar, in regular things, we do it with a sense of holiness. V'yiskalel klipas noga b'kedusha, ki'ilu hayinu panim b'panim Hashem Yisbarach. And it allows us to be metakin klipas noga. I'm not going to go into what that is right now. And it allows us to have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Okay, fine, but now listen to this. To encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'ramach evarim, ubein beiz hadroin. To encounter Hashem with our 248 limbs between our two arms. Shehu sod hachibuk shekiviyochol mechabik osanu v'gab anachnu elav yisbarach. This is the secret of a hug. And this is Hashem hugging us and us hugging Him. Now, let's go back to, what should we go back to? Sukkos, right. Very good. Let's go back to Sukkos. Yeah, Rizal says that when a Jew sits in a sukkah, what's he doing? He's sitting in Hashem's hug. Because a sukkah is two walls and a tefach. Right? So the fist of your hand is a tefach. If you wrap your arm around someone, so the upper part of the arm is one wall, right? The forearm is the second wall, and then your wrist, so to speak, your tefach that rounds the bend, is your tefach. So a hug is two walls and a tefach. So the Arizal says, Smolo tachas roshi, it's pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The left hand is under my head, that's Rosh Hashanah. V'yamino techabekeni. But then the right hand of Sukkot is Hashem's embrace. I told you once also that when a Jew takes the Sefer Torah in his hand on Simchas Torah, Hashem a hug back, right? But of course, everyone knows there's a difference between a hug with what? With one arm and with two arms. So Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. We've said many times that Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, Yaakov is Sukkos. Yosef, as a continuation of Yaakov, is Hanukkah. Yeah? And therefore, if on Sukkos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a hug with one hand, says the Meir Einei Chachamim, on Hanukkah, Hashem gives us a hug with two hands. How so? Because we have our 248 limbs, organs, right? And that's our body that's located between our two arms. So 248 plus 2 is Gematria Ner. That's what Rav Gedalia Shor was just telling us. We have 248 limbs. The two arms, what did he call them? He said they're Ava and Yira. Okay, that makes sense because in the bodily structure of the Sphiros, Chesed is the right arm, right? And Gvura, which is Yira, is the left arm. So to speak, when a Jew comes, Panim El Panim, and he's being around with some much more that we have no idea what he's talking about, but on the simplest level, he's saying that when you stand face to face with the menorah, Kiner Mitzvah Torah Or, and it's Mamash Lo Arganus, and it's a taste of the light of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the best mushal we have for Hashem is light. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we call him in the Svarim Or Ein Sof. We refer to Hashem as being this infinite light that we can't even begin to grasp, but we begin to grasp it through obviously Torah and Mitzvos. So to speak, when you stand opposite the Ner, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving you a hug. That's what he says. Shehu Sod Achibuk, Shekiviyachol Mechabek Osanu, Kiviyachol is hugging us, Hashem is hugging us, V'gam Anachnu Elav Yisbarach, and we're hugging Hashem back. And he says that's the secret of Ner. 248 plus two arms, your body plus your two arms, makes the hug of Hanukkah. Okay, they also talk about the kiss of Hanukkah. He doesn't talk about it, but others don't talk about how Hanukkah was really a kiss. It was a miracle that we didn't deserve, we didn't really need, but it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving us a hug and a kiss when we needed a little bit of chizuk. And again, it's not just the one-armed hug, which is a certain level of friendship, right? But it's to be totally enveloped, wrapped in Hashem's arms. That's pretty gewaltig. Okay? So now, let's come back to the Or Gedalia. So says, so let me hear what you wanted to say. Yeah, you wanted to say. Let's hear. We'll trade. You talk, and I'll sip coffee now. Right. Count eight from the bottom or eight from the top, right. Very good.
So there's the famous Gemara that everybody talks about, the Esther was the last miracle, and the Gemara Esther was Hanukkah, and says Esther was the last miracle, and it's lift up. That's what she did. So then you could say that Esther needed to be ridden, because in the sea for itself, you wouldn't be able to see the Or HaGadlus, and we know Asher says it was hidden in the something of the Torah, so there, Ayudei, you can glean the organos from the story of Purim. The reason Hanukkah didn't need to be written at all is because just by knowing the story of Pshuto, you could see the Or Velkus being that day.
Right. So that's going to fit actually very, very nicely with what we're about to see in Or Gedalia. That meaning you don't have to, on Hanukkah, the Chiddush of Hanukkah, again, I want to ask, if I get a chance to be in the presence of like a big tzaddik who's osek in these types of things, if I got the courage, I would want to ask, is lighting the Ner Chanukah the easiest mitzvah or the hardest mitzvah? So I want to ask Ramatul that question. I'd like to ask, maybe you can be my shliach, since you're more courageous than I am. Can you ask Ramatul, say, in terms of mitzvahs that require, the real kavanas, is Chanukah, I would like it to be that Chanukah is the hardest one, to be mechavin properly. Of all the things that tzaddikim do with all sorts of kavanas, I would like, it would be nice if Chanukah, because in a certain sense, Chanukah is the easiest mitzvah of all. There's no easier mitzvah in the Torah. There's literally no easier, it's not in the Torah, fine. There's no easier mitzvah, right, in the life of a Torah Jew than lighting the menorah. Is there anything easier than that? Even if it goes out, Kovsay and Zakukla, the light goes out, you don't even have to relight it. Mamish, the easiest mitzvah. One of the easiest mitzvahs, I don't know. But I would imagine that to have all the kavanas of Chanukah, it's a very difficult mitzvah. For tzaddikim, it takes tremendous hachana. That's why they're so busy with hours and hours of hachanas and eros, getting the lamp all ready, getting the menorah ready so that they're able to light it. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see something about that in a second. Yeah. Yeah, just ask him. Say, Rabbi, for tzaddikim like you, is lighting the menorah one of the harder mitzvahs in terms of the kavanas? No, don't do that. No, I'm only doing it if I can say it. I don't know. I'm curious. Like, no, basically, like, is it harder to have the kavanas for, I don't know, for baking matzah or for lighting a menorah? For the rikudim of Simchas Torah? Or, I don't know. I want to know, you know, kavanas of davening musaf on Yom Kippur? I don't know. Yeah. Right. Right, exactly. So those are the two extremes. Why do we have our menorah, right? On the one hand, you could say our house, dafka, is eligible to menorah because menorah doesn't even require a kohen. That's the low end of it. And then the high end of it is that, no, your home mamish becomes the place of the Bais HaMikdash and you're the kohen gadol. Right.
And then, with the point with the one-handed versus two-handed,
yeah.
On Sukkot, we know that the minimum requirement for
right, so you're saying if you have a proper sukkah, so it becomes a two-armed hug. Okay, that's good. That's good, yeah.
So like, whenever you hear stories about, like, lighting the menorah,
yeah. Right. Right, because the ikar of, really, again, in a certain sense, the ikar of Hanukkah is the most chashuv part, is the hatavas of menorah, the preparing of the menorah. Yeah, because again, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, only a kohen could do the hatava. Only a kohen could clean the menorah and prepare the menorah and position the wicks. Technically, a non-kohen could light it. Technically. Okay? Okay, so our mitzvahs have to have ahava and yira. And again, a kiner mitzvah, a ner, is the 248 mitzvahs asay, which are performed with the two wings, so to speak, of mitzvahs, ahava and yira. I'll just tell you a quick Torah from Rabbi Rubinstein that he wrote this past Shabbos. He didn't write it on Shabbos, he wrote it last week, and it was published for this past Shabbos. He explained that oil and wax also represent ahava and yira. Beautiful little Torah. If anyone sees Rabbi Rubinstein's Gilyon, you read it ever? So he said that Ava is oil, and Yira is wax. He's on a Medrash. The Medrash says that a person who's like afraid melts like wax. Right? And we find Psukim that talk about Hashem's great love in conjunction with oil. So he said the minhag, of course, I mean the ideal way to light the menorah. By most, there were some tzaddikim who actually liked wax. Or Shlomo Karliner liked wax. But most tzaddikim, obviously, you know, choose oil. Shemin Zayis Zach. But you'll notice that many people who still use oil for their menorah still use a wax candle as their shamash. So Rubinstein wanted to say, even though on Hanukkah we're emphasizing the ava, which is the oil, but a person can't be kulo ava. You need to have a little yira, at the very least. You can't lose sight of the yira. So you have to have the yira, which is the wax candle, in conjunction with the oil, which is ava. I thought that was a very beautiful idea in striking that balance. Why did he like wax? Because it made more of a roshim, he felt. He thought that it made more like smoke, and one time his wall even caught on fire, and he was so happy because it left a mark on his house the whole year. It's Hanukkah leaving his mark on his home. Shlomo Karliner liked wax candles. He felt that it, like, in the dripping of the wax also made more, he felt it made more of like a rosha. I don't think it's related. No, it's just the place. Karlin was a place. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Okay, let's go on. So again, so we have a ner, kiner, mitzvah, v'torah, or. So good. So every mitzvah, again, is a ner. 248 mitzvos, ava and yira, ki ava v'yira heim knafayim lagbiya adam yolam hazeh ashafa. Right? Ava and yira are the wings to lift a person up to a higher place. She roi lekabel or haTorah. And through doing mitzvos, you become that ner, you become a kli, and that kli is now able to contain and to receive the light of Hashem, gevaldik, which is the Torah or. What's the Chiddush of Chanukah? Listen to this. Aval Yisera Aleihen Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. But the Chiddush of Ner Chanukah is unbelievable. Sha Mitzvah Ba'atzma Hi B'ner. The mitzvah itself is a ner. Meaning usually ner is an idea. Ki ner mitzvah. V'Torah Or. Those are ideas. On Chanukah, when you take a ner, a menorah, and you light an or, mamish, it's not like, it's not that this is an expression of ner and or. This is mamish ner and or. It's a mitzvah which in a certain sense touches the essence of what a mitzvah is and what the essence of or is. It's a very deep idea. Sha'a mitzvah ba'atzma hi b'ner. The mitzvah itself is a ner. Va'or shala mitzvah atzma hi or ha'torah. And the or, when you look at the ner Chanukah, you're looking at the light of Torah, the Or HaGanuz. The most hidden light of Torah is being expressed through that little candle, through that little light. Shenitvas v'haner shel Chanukah Or HaTorah. That clinging, so to speak, to your menorah is the light of Torah, the essential light of Torah. Which is why it's good to sit by the menorah and to look at the lights and to think ideas in Torah, you know, to pick a pasuk to think about, and you'll see, you'll have new interpretations of things. To daven that Hashem should open your eyes, right? Gale naiva abita neflos mitorah secha, to see the wonders of the Torah. That's what happens when you just look at these neiros; they deepen your connection to Torah. It's an amazing thing. Kamosh isa b'gemara. The Gemara says so explicitly in Shabbos Chav Gimel. Haragil b'ner havin labanim tamidei chachamim. One who accustoms oneself to ner, one who lights a lot of candles. Rashi explains ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, will be blessed with children who are tamidei chachamim. What neiros are we talking about? Al yidei haner Shabbos v'ner Chanukah b'haor shel Torah. The Gemara says, if you take your Shabbos candle seriously, and you take your Chanukah candle seriously, so then what? Then you'll be blessed to have children who are talmidei chachamim. When a woman lights ner Shabbos, and she davens for her children. When a man lights ner Chanukah, and he davens for his children, and he understands the power of ner mitzvah, a Torah or, which is what these mitzvahs, ner Shabbos and ner Chanukah represent, so then the Gemara gives him a blessing, that he'll be blessed with children who are equally committed and dedicated to Torah. And even though Ner Mitzvah Torah Or is said about the entirety of Jewish living, right? Ner Mitzvah is not only talking about the actual Ner of Mitzvah, but again, his point is all the more so we actually have a Ner Mitzvah. Right? If Ner Mitzvah means every Mitzvah, if Sukkot is called Ner Mitzvah, if eating matzah is called Ner Mitzvah, obviously Chanukah is called Ner Mitzvah. So in a certain sense, it's the ultimate mitzvah. Aval miyuchedes mitzvos ner chanuk, mishar kol mitzvos. It's unique from all the other mitzvos. It gives you the opportunity to rise above, so to speak. Ki or ha-mitzvah ba'atzma, hi or ha-Torah. Because the light of the menorah itself is the light of Torah. It's not bittul zman to stare at the neiros. So I say, why am I staring at a candle? Maybe I should, you know, light the menorah and then go stare at Bava Kama. No, because when you're staring at those lights, You're staring at the essence of Torah. You're staring at the Or HaGanuz. It's mamash like learning Torah. She nislabish Or HaTorah b'toch ha-mitzvah d'Chanukah. Right? That the light of Torah is nislabish, is enveloped, is contained within that light of Chanukah. V'zoi anekuda miyuchedes b'ner Chanukah. And again, this is what's so special about Ner Chanukah. V'hi achavivis ha-yesera she'yesh b'mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, she'yesh ba'or ha-Torah. And this is the Chavivus. The Rambam writes about Ner Chanukah, something that he writes only by Ner Chanukah. The Rambam doesn't use this expression anywhere else. Where the Rambam says that mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah Chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's very Chaviv. Very precious mitzvah. Why is he calling it a precious mitzvah? Where did the Rambam get that lashon from? Tosfos also, Mesechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Ches, when it talks about Birchas HaRoeh, making a bracha on someone else's menorah, Tosfos says, how do you have such a thing? It's because Chanukah is so chaviv, it's so special. Why is everyone calling Chanukah chaviv? What's so chaviv about Chanukah? The answer is that in a certain sense, it's the ultimate mitzvah. It's the greatest expression and embodiment of ner mitzvah v'torah or, which everything that we do is trying to taste a little bit ner mitzvah v'torah or. But all the more so, ner Chanukah itself, the Chavivus of Ner Chanukah, he writes, Chavivrin Dalit Samach. Anyone know what Dalit Samach stands for? Three lines from the bottom. Chavivrin Dalit Samach Yoiser Miyena Shel Torah. Divrei Sofrim, very good. Chavivin divrei sofrim yoyser miyena shel Torah. Right? In a certain sense, more desirable are the words of our sages than the wine of Torah. In other words, the mitzvahs d'rabbanan have a special place in our heart. It's interesting. The Yom Tov of Purim, the Jewish people re-accepted upon themselves their commitment to Torah. But Chanukah, in many ways, is a celebration of Dinam d'rabbanan, a celebration of Torah Shebaal Peh, and again, our ability to machadesh in Torah Shebaal Peh, our ability to create new Torah. So there's a chavivas that comes from that, right? You know, you're excited to share someone else's idea, but when you have your own idea, you're that much more excited. So that's chavivin divrei sofrim, Chanukah, which is a celebration of, again, of our own, so to speak, ability in Torah. Chavivin divrei sofrim yoyser miyena shel Torah. Sheish maila yesera b'mitzvah zu, al kol shar ha-mitzvos. There's something about Chanukah that surpasses all the other mitzvos, and the reason is, shenislabish ba or ha-Torah. Because when you look at those neiros, it encompasses everything that we're striving for in all of our mitzvos and all of our Torah. Okay? So take advantage of those lights. Realize you don't have to, it's not a stepping stone to the receiving of the light of Torah. It mamish is the light of Torah in the clearest and most tangible way. Okay? All right, turn to the final page. Os Tazayin. This piece is... it's titled the Rosh Chodesh Teves, but since all of Chanukah is a celebration of Chiddush, and that's what he's going to talk about, it's kedai to learn. We'll go through it quickly. Hayavanim ratzu levatel Chodesh, Shabbos, Umila. The Yavanim were against three things. The celebration of Chodesh, recognition of our ability to sanctify the new moon. Shabbos, they hated the concept of Shabbos, that one day of the week is set apart. And Mila, they didn't like that we're able to define our bodies differently, like the Sefer HaChinuch says in Mitzvah Beis, through Bris Mila. It makes us different. All these things make us different, and they don't want us to be different. V'tzrichin lahavin lama hisnagdwa yavonin l'mitzvahs kiddush ha-chodesh. What do you have against sanctifying the new moon? I understand Shabbos, you're saying that we have a day, a holy day, that makes us different, and an Andrew's not even allowed to keep Shabbos. Mila, we want our bodies to be physically different. Okay, I get why they could not like that so much. What do they have against Kiddush HaChodesh? Sheish bra rak inyan shel sidur seder hachadashim. What do you have against us having a calendar year? Being able to look at the moon and to identify, this is the new moon, it's a new month. Why were they so against that? You don't like calendars? Alakvar bi'arnu shel yavonim ratzu levatel hakoach b'yad ha-yehudi l'chadeshes atzmo. But of course, the very first mitzvah that we were taught as a people in Mitzrayim, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. There's a reason Hashem gave that as the first mitzvah to the Jewish people. And it speaks to the point that the Jewish people are the essence of chiddush. The ability to what? For one to renew oneself. Uletzeis mitocha hergel ve'isyashnus. To always escape from hergel, from being regular, from being boring, from not having aspirations, for not being driven, for doing the same thing over and over and over again, for being sleepy. Chodesh challenges all those things. It says a Jew has to be alive. A Jew has to be on fire. A Jew has to always be growing and seeking and aspiring. A Jew has to be awake. Like Rabbi Nachman said, we tell our children stories not to put them to sleep, but to wake them up. To be mechadish, to feel something new. V'akoach hazeh shel chiddush shayach l'rosh chodesh u'l'kiddush halavana. And of course, the expression of our connection to renewal is our connection to the moon. The Jewish people are compared to the moon. Like we say in Kiddush Levana, when we go out and we acknowledge the new moon, we say what? That we're also going to be renewed just like it, just like the moon. So in other words, there's points in Jewish history when we look like we're down and out, but we're going to make a comeback, is what we're saying. The Jewish people are always going to come back. When the light of the moon, yes, it waxes and wanes, it has times where it's brighter and times where it's less illuminated, but like the moon itself, it always comes back. It's always there. Ki b'rosh chodesh nitein hakoach ba'odim l'chadish es atzmo. That's what Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh is a chance for a Jew to renew himself. That's why the Yom Tov of Chanukah has to have a Rosh Chodesh in it. Most of our Jewish holidays take place in the middle of the month. But the very essence of Chanukah is Chiddush, so it has to have a Rosh Chodesh in it. Right? It has to have a Shabbos in it. And it has to be 8 days to give the possibility of a Bris Milah. If you can go to a bris during Chanukah, it's a chashuv thing. Because everyone has a Shabbos in Chanukah, everyone has Chodesh in Chanukah. If you can go to a bris on Chanukah, It's a way to really show the Yavanim that we've won. So when a Jew is mechadish himself, dugmas halavana, shenischadish b'chol rosh chodesh, he become like the moon that renews itself. Kim anu roim shalavanim mischadeshes, roim anu sheyesh hashpa shel ischadshus oz ba'olam. When we watch the moon go through its renewal, whatever's happening in the natural world is an indication that it's happening in the spiritual world as well. We have to try to pay attention to what's happening in the world and try to tap into it spiritually. He quotes from Maharal, he often does, this idea from the Maharal. Amash matzinu sha'torah tola hagimol regalim ba'mezhava b'seder ha'teva. Again, if you just read the Torah simply, you'd wonder, why are the major holidays of the calendar year linked to what's happening in agriculture? So obviously a person who's very pshat-oriented would say, well, that was the reality. People lived in an agricultural society, right? So yes, their holidays celebrated. Chag HaKotzir, you know? We would celebrate, you know, Chag HaOsif. This is the harvest season. This is the gathering season, right? On a very plain and simple way, true. But obviously there's something more to it. Because if Torah is supposed to be deep and pnimi, it can't just be about that the essence of our holidays is we're happy that we gathered in our grain. So what does it really mean? It means, Kamo Pesach hu Chag HaAviv, Pesach is a celebration of the springtime. Ki Ksiv Gavoa Me'al Gavoa Shomer. But we know, of course, there are layers upon layers. What does it mean? If Pesach is a time where the earth is renewing itself, that means Pesach is a time where we can renew ourselves. And that's why, yes, Pesach is when the Jewish people became a people. The birth of the Jewish people is Pesach. So just like a dead tree starts to come back alive in the springtime, Pesach is that warm weather. If you see the sun shining, if you see things in the world renewing themselves, Hashem play of saying to you, hello, I want you to do the same thing spiritually. If you see Chodesh Aviv, you see Eschadshus, so then what? It's a simen sheba olamos al yonim. You read this hashpa shalcheres. It's an indication that what? That yes, the tree is being freed from its winter, you know, from the frozen winter, and the tree is able to come back to being a tree. That's a cheres for a tree, and therefore chayiv adam lios satzmo kilu hu yatzim mitzrayim. If a tree can renew itself, so then I can certainly renew myself. What's amazing about the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is that it's renewal mamish when it's dead, right? Meaning to be able to renew yourself when you're frozen, not to wait till the springtime to thaw out. That's the vart of Hanukkah. That if you light a fire, you can shatter the ice, you can break the ice, right? You don't have to just wait for the ice to melt on its own. You can do something to warm up and to break through that ice. That's the message of Hanukkah. That's the chiddush of Hanukkah. The chidush, right? The renewal of Hanukkah. Shemizeh shana ro'om b'seder hashana, shebechol rosh chodesh nischadesh alavana. And again, each month, so to speak, we have that opportunity. As the moon renews itself, zeh simin she'oz yoredes to'olam hashpa shel eschatros. That's an indication that what? That there's a eschatros that's taking place. What do you do when you have eschatros? Well, Pesach is eschatros. That's the birth of the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is Hischadshus. Right? Was the world created in Nisan? Was the world created in Tishrei? They're both true. Nisan is maybe Tshuva Me'ava. Tishrei is Tshuva Me'ira. Renewal comes with Tshuva. That's what Tshuva is. Tshuva is being able to renew oneself. I've made some mistakes. I want to start fresh. So if Chanukah, in many ways, is about renewal, if the Avonim were against Chodesh and Hischadshus, that means they were against Tshuva. Which is why I've told you in the past, every Jew lights the menorah, Mahadrim and Mahadrim. Because Mahadrim and Mahadrim is Gematria Tshuva, 713. Mahadrim and Mahadrim is Gematria Tshuva. That's why Zos Chanukah, al pi the Arizal and the Tzaddikim, is what? Is really the Gemara Chasima. Zos Chanukah, in many ways, is the conclusion of the Tshuva process that we began in Elul and Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gdal Yeshur, five lines from the end of the right column, Yisod the Rosh Chodesh Uzman Tshuva. Rosh Chodesh is the Zman of Tshuva. It's a time of Hischadshus. He quotes Rabbi Nachman, four lines from the end. V'chein isa b'lekuti moran. Ein va'ata el aloshon tshuva. When Chazal say the word ata, now, is a code word for tshuva, that makes a lot of sense to us. Because when a person looks at the moment and says, this is an entirely new moment in time, it's a clean slate, that's tshuva. He doesn't get stuck in his past, but he's able to own the moment. That's tshuva. Tshuva, top of the left column. That's what Rosh Chodesh is. That's what the Yavanim were against. The Yavanim didn't like the thought that one could emerge from all the tuma. That's what the celebration of the menorah is. Timu kol hashmanim, but we did tshuva and we found the Pach Shem. That itself is an expression of tshuva. He ends the piece with a teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich explained that there's a word that we associate with Torah. If you remember, we had it in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis. Ein zos el Torah. Zos olas chodesh b'chodsho. Famous teaching from the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid said, what does it mean, zos olas chodesh b'chodsho? So he explained that the world operates on two tracks. Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. We see a very natural world. We also know that when we're looking deep, we see a very deeply spiritual world. And they're living, so to speak, side by side. They're interwoven with each other. So the word zos actually is a perfect word to express the world. Right? I mean, everything could be called zos. Zos means this. Whatever you're pointing to is zos. Right? But ein zos el Torah, and Torah was the blueprint to create the world. So the world is called zos in a certain sense. And the Maggid of Mezrich explained, quoted by the Kashrutzer Maggid, that zos is Zion and Aleph and Tav. Two tracks. There's a Zion track, and then there's an Aleph Tav track. What does Zion represent? Seven. Seven represents the natural order of things. Teva. Teva is seven. 7 days in a week, 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, seven cycles of seven in a Yovel cycle, seven notes in a musical scale, seven digits in your phone number, right? Seven. Seven, there's a lot of sevens. Olam Hazeh goes in terms of sevens. That's Gashmias, that's physicality. That's not the spiritual world, that's the physical world. The Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary on the Zohar that Geshem, which is the Gashmias that sustains the world, Geshem is Gematria 343, which is 7 times 7 times 7. It's a ribuy of sevens. This world is sevens. Everything in this world is sevens. Your brain, your physical body is programmed to think in terms of sevens. If I gave you a taste test of seven different brands of iced tea and I asked you to recall the difference between them, which one is more sweet, which one is more tart, right? Up to seven different things your brain would be able to recall. Once you get to eight, all of a sudden you start to get confused. Wait, which one was which? So there's something about the natural world that it operates in terms of sevens. However, that's the Zion of Zos. Then there's something called Aleph through Tav. Aleph through Tav, of course, are the 22 letters that make up the Torah. Right? And the Torah is Lamal Ben Ateva, which is why after counting 7 weeks of 7 days, we have at the beginning of the eighth week, Shavuos. Right? That's why in Tehillim chapter 19, anyone have a sitter with Tehillim in the back? Maharal says three things. Maharal says after 7 days, 7 weeks of 7 days, we have Kabbalah Satorah, the beginning of the eighth week, because Torah is Lamal and Ateva. In Tehillim chapter 19, yeah. You get to the eighth pasuk. Torah Hashem tamima meshivas nafesh. Maral says, why is the eighth pasuk there about Torah? Because eight is always connected to Torah. Why he's talking about that parak? Tehillim is a good question. And Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, which is the longest Tehillim, it goes through the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, right? And it goes through how many psukim for each letter? Eight. Right? There's eight psukim for each letter. Because the whole thing is about Torah. It's all about Torah. Ashrei Tmimei Derech HaHolchim B'Torah Hashem. So Tehillim chapter 119 goes through each of the
Aleph Beis, each of the letters, the Aleph Beis, 8 times.
Because the Aleph Beis are the building blocks of Torah. And Torah is connected to the world of 8, Lamala Min HaTeva. So therefore, Zos, Olas Chodesh Bechadsho. A Jew has to choose. Do you want to be a Zion Jew, or you want to be an Aleph to Tav type of Jew? Am I a natural seeker? Am I a person who sees the natural world and gets lost in that? Or am I a Jew who lives in the world of what? Of Aleph to Tav. And every Rosh Chodesh, the Mizritch Magid explains, you have an opportunity to make a choice. Zos Olas Chodesh Bechadsho. Every Rosh Chodesh, there's a renewal of Zion and Aleph and Tav. Do I want to see life as just natural occurrences? Zion. It's a reality. It's one of the tracks of reality. But then a Jew can attach himself to the higher hanhaga of Aleph through Tav, the letters of the Aleph base, the letters of Torah. And then you could be Lamala Min HaTeva. Okay, and of course on Chanukah, we are seeking to choose the more elevated track, the track that's not bound by Teva. And that's part of the Eschatzus that we feel during these days. Okay, so I want to thank our Rabbi, Rabbi Gedalia Shor, for teaching us many, many things about Chanukah this year. It was a big schus to have him with us. And Amir Tzashem, we should be zochet to live these teachings, to experience a sense of chiddush and renewal on Chanukah, to be able to really, again, going back to all the things we learned, Halel and Hodah, to be able to be humble and to be confident, to be people who are seeking to tap into the essence of light, to break through that thick darkness that we spoke about. Ramesh, a lot of good things we learned. Right? To conquer the shichcha of Yavan. When you live before Hashem, you're always fresh, you're always new. The man never got old. To understand the chok of the Torah, not to just learn Torah because it makes sense, but to be mevatel ourselves to chukei ritzon echa, the ratzon Hashem. All right, we're very lucky to have a teacher like Rav Gedalia Shor with us. Yes? Yeah. Right. That's right. It's a machlokas when is the tree really starting to come alive? On the outside, on the inside. Right? The sap is rising up in the tree. Right? But already Rosh Chodesh Shvat, maybe Beis Shammai is saying you got to be able to have the breakthrough while it's still winter. Yeah, Shvat is very much Kislev Shvat. Kislev Teves Shvat, it's all one Indian of the Kabbalah Satorah of winter. It's a big thing. Okay.